Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short. Yes, I'm here. I forgot.
He is here.
I was thinking, you were talking about the mics that we have. I was thinking what I was doing yesterday with a mic at home.
Ed was kind of daydreaming there. And, it's good to be here. I'm sorry. Let me get myself together. We want to welcome you here to Prophecies of Hope Bible Answers. And you are listening to this program on Sunday, September 22nd. We're recording this in advance. We have the Bible series going on this week. And hopefully by the time you hear this program, all of those lectures will be posted on the website.
Yeah, so the website is what?
The website is prophecyhope.com.
Yeah, so if you're interested in hearing what Jesus had to say about different topics, what did Jesus have to say about the Trinity? What did Jesus have to say about the Holy Spirit? What did Jesus have to say about
death and hell?
Death and hell.
Yeah.
And what did Jesus have to say about the Sabbath?
Yes.
And what did Jesus have to say about our diet?
And our health. Yeah. Diet and health. So it's amazing some of the things that we find in the Bible that most people say, well, I didn't realize the Bible talked about some of these things. And there are things that people can't find in the Bible that they've been taught all their life that it says. And so we addressed some of those topics during the series. We're actually in the process of doing that now. But as I said, when you're listening to this, it should be posted hopefully on the website. And it's good to be here. We're in here on, it's actually a Tuesday morning, and it's kind of rainy outside.
And we need the rain.
And we really need the rain here in Virginia. We want to thank Ray Powers for putting us on the air each and every week. And we send this program to him, and he got us on the air on time on this Sunday evening. So let's see. Tell us a little bit about this ministry, Ed, would you?
Prophecies of Hope is just a little ministry located in Stanton, Virginia. And this is a combination of individuals that came together by God's leading. People who are interested in knowing what the truth of God's Word says versus depending on a church, a pastor, priest, to tell you what it says or what to believe. And so that's how we came together. And we have our services on Wednesday evening. We have a prayer time, Bible study time at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And on Sabbath, or Saturday, the seventh day of week, is when we come and worship God. We have a Bible study at 9:30, available via Zoom or live stream on the internet. And we have our worship hour at 11.
11 a.m. Eastern time.
Right.
Yeah, all of these times are Eastern time. And, you know, we want to invite you to, if you want to join in with us, we can send you a link for the Zoom study. And if somebody wants to contact you, Ed, how would they do that?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
And you can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can send a general email to office@prophecyhope.com. And the other thing is, we want to encourage you. We try to do this each week. We really want to encourage people to open their Bible and read what it says.
Don't believe it because we say it. Believe the words on the page of the Bible.
Amen.
Read it for yourself. Study it for yourself.
And now we're having a conversation where sometimes people will just pull a verse out and they'll read that verse and apply it a certain way. And then when we read the verse before it, it changes the whole meaning of that verse. And whole denominations are built upon sometimes a single misapplication of one verse.
Right.
And it's unbelievable how many times that happens. And that's why we encourage people to, even as we read here today, when we open God's Word and we're reading it, open your Bible and read along with us. Or if you have a phone app, open it up and read along with us. Compare translations sometimes.
Yes.
That's good to do.
Yeah.
And make sure that the things that you're learning are true. Be a Berean, as we say.
Yes.
Isn't that what Paul said?
Yeah, in Acts 17, Paul was a missionary. He went all over the world. And he was in Berea, and he noticed that the people there, he would speak, or Barnabas, who was with him, would speak, and they would open their Bibles to see if the Bible actually said what they were preaching.
That's what we need to do. And that's what each individual needs to do when right. somebody is speaking. So, because so many times we can cite or quote something out of context and change the whole meaning of the, right. the verse. So that's just a little bit about this ministry. And also, if you have any questions, we don't have all the answers, but if you have a Bible question and you'd like to send it in, send it and we can address it right here. And we'll try our best to right. answer it from the Bible.
If we don't know, well, let's say we don't know.
We don't know. And that's going to happen, let me assure you. But to get this study started, we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, and we've been in Matthew chapter 7 for several weeks now. We're going to pick that up today. But before we get started, Ed, would you pray for us?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're again so thankful for the gift of your word, the Bible, and the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we study these words on the page, may you give us the wisdom and knowledge to understand them, to be able to apply them to our lives, and to see how much you love us through these words that you've given us. Father, as we study these things, guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, last week, where did we stop? Do you remember where we
were talking about a beam in your eye or a board, or what did you say,
some,
a board?
Yeah, some say
a plank.
There was one that said plank. Another translation said a rafter.
Yeah.
A rafter in your eye. Yeah. And it talks about take the toothpick or the splinter, some will say. Take the splinter out of, you know, you have a rafter in your eye, but
you're trying to take a splinter out of your brother's eye.
Right. Yeah. And it's pretty interesting. That's why I said it's neat to see different translations.
So the Bible says, first, take that beam or plank or whatever out of your own eye so you can see to help your brother.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's where we left off. I think we still had to cover chapter 7, verse 6.
Yes.
Is that right?
This is the Modern King James. This is what it says. It says, "Do not give that which is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before a swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and tear you."
Hmm. You have any thoughts about this?
Well, you know, to me, pearls is something valuable.
Yes.
And combine that with something that's holy.
Right.
It's talking about the gospel, the word of God, and the hope that we have in our life, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, there's people out in the world that just don't want to hear it. They have no interest. It says, you know, if you try to give this knowledge, this information, this way of salvation to them, and they don't want to hear it, leave them alone.
Yeah. You know, later on in the same book of the Bible, we're in Matthew. Later on in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is sending his disciples out to go minister to people. Uh-huh. And here's what he says along these same lines of what he says on the Sermon on the Mount. It says, let's see. Yeah, it says, "If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive nor hear your words when you depart from that house," this is verse 14, Matthew 10, 14. "Whoever will not receive nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city."
So if you come across someone who doesn't want to hear it, leave them alone. Yeah. Otherwise, if you keep pressing that, you're going to have problems with them.
Yeah, you can actually push people away.
Yeah.
You know, it can make them, there have been people that I've witnessed to, and I've made this mistake, Ed. You know, sometimes you witness to family or friends, people you really care about.
Right.
And you tend to push a little bit.
Right.
And then sometimes it's almost like they dig in and they say, okay.
Build a wall.
Yes, that's what they do.
Angry, mad.
Right.
You know, it says here, turn again and tear you. They can
potentially attack you. Yeah, yeah. And that's happened as well.
Yeah.
You know, I've never been attacked physically, but verbally.
Yeah.
And even, you know, people, it hurts when people verbally attack you.
Right.
So that's very important. And remember, the context of what we were reading there in Matthew chapter 7 is about not judging people.
Right.
It doesn't say you can't judge, but it says you better be ready to accept the judgment that you're dishing out.
Right, Yeah.
Right.
You know, we all make decisions and judgments every day in our life.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's part of life. But it's, you know, like verse 5 says, first get the beam out of your own eye before mm-hmm. you can help your brother.
Yeah.
So, and then, like you said, whatever judgment we judge other, that's the level of judgment that's going to be used
yeah.
in our life.
So we need to be careful there.
Yeah.
And, you know, this whole account, this, there's so many valuable lessons in this Sermon on the Mount. And, you know, if you read through this, all these things that are recorded, it might take you 15 minutes. In a 15-minute sermon, or probably less than that, Jesus addressed just about every aspect of our lives and taught us masterfully how to live and how to treat others.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty amazing. So I guess that brings us to Matthew 7 and verse 7.
Yeah, let's read 7 through 11.
Okay. Did you want to read that?
Why don't you go ahead and read that.
Okay. Now, my Bible has certain paragraphs, you know how they mark it off,
right.
And mine goes 7 through 12.
Okay.
Did you
fine.
Want to read through that?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what it says. I'm reading from the New King James, Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7. Ask, this is Jesus speaking, by the way. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, you will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So, Ed, do you have any thoughts about this? There's a lot of information
here.
Well,
you know, as you're reading this, I'm thinking, if you're seeking truth from God's word, ask,
mm-hmm.
and he'll give you that truth. Knock, seek, you know, study the Bible, read
right,
it.
Right, seeking.
Compare scripture to scripture. If you want direction in your life,
right,
ask God.
Yeah.
And then do your best to seek out information to help you make a good decision about the direction of your life.
That's right.
If you have a habit, a sin that you're dealing with in your life,
mm-hmm.
ask God to help you overcome that sin. And then don't just sit there.
Mm.
Make a choice to go away from that sin, to not participate in that sin, to not be with people that promote that sin.
Right.
Not only ask, but then go knock and seek the direction you want to go.
Right. Knock on God's door through the word of prayer. He will open up, right? And, you know, one of the ways that I've learned a long time ago, these scriptures say, ask, seek, knock. That's A-S-K, ask, seek, knock.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to remember.
Oh, wow, I never thought of that.
Yeah, ask.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's yeah. really neat to think about things like that.
You know, it goes on to say, you know, God wants to help you. You know, he compares God to man. Man, if a son asks for a loaf of bread, will you give him a stone? No. If he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?
Mm.
This is a parallel text in Luke chapter 11.
Okay.
And I want to read verses 9 through 13. Verse 13 adds something that's very important.
Okay.
So let's start in verse 9 of Luke 11. This is, again, the modern King James. And I say to you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. How many people can ask and receive?
It says everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah.
And he who seeks finds. If you go ahead and seek, actively seek, you will find. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. For what father of you, if a son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake for a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Hmm. That's interesting.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. So if we ask for God's Spirit,
yes,
he will send his Spirit.
Yes.
So what does this mean, Ed? Because I know people are confused on what this means about God sending his Spirit. How is this done? Let's talk about that
okay.
a little bit.
You know, I'm trying to back up to Matthew 7 here on my computer. Yes, it is interesting. The Bible makes it clear in John 14:6.
Can we turn there?
Yeah.
Let's just do this, because I think that this is one of the topics that we're addressing this week in the Bible series. By the time you're hearing this past week.
In John 14:6, John 14 is the night of the Last Supper. Jesus has told his disciples in John 13 that I am going away, and where I'm going, you can't come. And then the beginning of John 14, he starts to comfort them and say, you believe in God, believe in me, and that I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And, you know, Thomas asked him, how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, in verse 6, mm-hmm. the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So in order to receive the Spirit of God, his Father,
right,
we have to know Jesus.
Yeah.
Because no one comes to the Father but by Jesus Christ.
Right.
So in Titus, the book of Titus, we never go to the book of Titus, you know?
Yeah, we don't see that very often, do we?
You know?
I always think of Titus as some of the qualifications for elders in the church.
If we look at Titus chapter 3,
mm-hmm.
and read verses 4 through 6, 7 maybe.
Okay.
It says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared towards man, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Mm.
So, in order to receive the Spirit of God, we need to have the Spirit of Christ.
Yes.
And you'll say, what are you talking about? Let's go back to John chapter 17.
John 17.
And in John 17, again, these chapters of John 14, John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are the night of the Last Supper, the night that Jesus is betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the next day, he's crucified.
So all of these things that we read in those chapters happened in one evening, right?
And in John 17, Jesus is praying to his Father, and he's praying for his disciples. And in an extension, he's actually praying for us, and he says that in his prayer, that I'm not only praying for these disciples, but those who believe on me through their word, their testimony.
We have plenty of time here. Can we read this whole chapter and just kind of highlight those things?
And just so people are aware, we're going to get to some verses in John 20 through 23 that will tell us what we're talking about, that we receive the Spirit of God through the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so we'll be reading John 17, and some of those questions will be answered, you're saying, in those verses, 20 through 23.
Why don't we start with the first three verses?
Okay. You want me to read?
Yes, if you could, please.
All right, so this is John 17, and I'm reading from the New King James, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
So Jesus is praying to his Father. He's talking about those that God has given him. And he's saying that you've given Christ, you've given himself authority all over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to all you have given him. Mm-hmm. And this is eternal life. Don't miss this. That they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent.
Yes.
So let's continue on in verse 4. It says, I have glorified you upon the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Mm. So Jesus, who existed before the world.
He's the Son of God.
Yes. Verse 6, I have revealed your name to the men you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known all the things that whatever you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you gave me. This is so important. People don't understand this.
Right.
Jesus, throughout the book of John, says, the words that I speak aren't my own.
Right.
They are the ones that my Father gave me to tell you.
Amen.
And the reason I speak them is because I know they lead to life everlasting.
Yeah.
You can find that at the end of John chapter 12. Verse 8, for I have given to them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from you. He's the Son of God.
Yeah.
He was born of the Father. And they have believed that you sent me.
The New King James says, I came forth from you.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about that, being brought forth from the Father.
Verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them. You know, everything that Christ has, all his attributes, he received from his Father.
Right.
He was given them by his Father.
Yeah, Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 1 that Jesus is the express image of his Father's person.
Go ahead. Let's go on in John 17:11. Now I am in the world no longer. Because he knows he's about to be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
But these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, those whom you have given me, so that they may be one as we are.
Hmm.
While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you have given me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Talking about Judas who betrayed Jesus Christ. Son of perdition, son of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 13, and now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. You know, this is interesting because that evening and the next day, they would lack joy.
Right.
All their hopes would be dashed when Christ was put to death. But Christ, knowing the promises of his Father that had given him, that he would raise him again on the third day, he's speaking now about this joy that they'll have that will be fulfilled in them when this happens.
Hmm.
Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not pray for you to take them out of the world, but for you to keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth.
Mm.
God's word is truth. The Bible is God's word.
Yes.
The Bible is truth. Verse 18, as you have sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And I sanctify myself for their sake, so they also might be sanctified in truth by God's word, which Jesus has shared with them. Verse 20, and I do not pray for these alone, but for those who shall also believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So this is kind of a lot of I and you, you and me.
Right.
What is this talking about? Well, let's continue to read and it will show us. Verse 22, and I have given them the glory which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. So how can we experience God? By having Christ in us.
Yes.
Because God is in Christ. The Spirit of God is in Christ, that we may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those whom you have given me, that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world, before the world was made. O righteous Father, indeed the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And I made known to them your name, and will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Hmm.
So this has everything to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes, it does.
To experience Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul says, it's not I that live, but Christ that lives in me.
Right.
And so if we turn to Romans 8, and to really understand the gospel of Romans 8, you need to read Romans 5, 6, 7, and then 8. But we'll get to the part we're talking about in Romans 8, 8 through 11. This is, again, the modern King James. It says, so then they who are in the flesh cannot please God. And, of course, we know from Galatians chapter 5, mm-hmm. what it means to walk in the flesh,
right,
versus
the
walking in the Spirit. It will mm-hmm. give you those the definition, the characteristics of those who walk in the flesh,
Galatians
or those who walk
five.
By the Spirit.
Right.
So it says in verse 8 of Romans 8, so then they who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you.
Mm-hmm.
But if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Remember, there's only one way to the Father. That's through Jesus Christ. So if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you can't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you.
Right.
It's only through Christ that can happen. And if Christ is in you, indeed the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness.
So that means that I'm not affected by my earthly desires, by
yes.
my carnal nature.
It's Romans 6 talks about being baptized into the death of Christ,
right.
dying to sin,
mm-hmm.
and raised to a new life in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Verse 11, but if the Spirit of the one who raised up Jesus from the dead,
God, the
God,
Father.
His Father.
Did. Yeah.
So if the Spirit of the one who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised up Christ from the dead shall also make your mortal bodies alive by his Spirit who dwells in you. And of course, we know that's through his Son, Jesus Christ, we can experience the Spirit of God. You know, Ephesians 2 really kind of explains that further.
Okay.
If we go to
Ephesians chapter 2.
Maybe starting in verse 13. Can you read 13
sure.
through the end of the chapter for
yeah,
us?
This is Ephesians chapter 2, beginning
yes.
in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace.
These two groups of people are simply talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. The ones who were once far off are the Gentiles, and those that were near are the Jews. And so he's saying that it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. Jesus Christ came to save all.
Right. But we have to accept Christ.
Right.
If we're denying Christ, we're not going to be in Christ.
Right. Go ahead and continue with verse 16.
Okay, let's see. So it says, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father.
Well, how do we have access to the Father?
By the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So this, go ahead, Ed.
Well, go ahead and say what you're going to say.
I was just going to say, this is something that the majority of Christianity misunderstands. They think it's a different spirit.
They think it's a different being.
They think it's a different, yeah, a different being. But we see here that through this whole thing, we've only been talking about two beings, the Father and his Son, right?
Yeah. Let's continue reading and look at how this is explained further, how we access to God through his Spirit.
Okay. Where do you want? Verse
19? Go ahead and repeat 18 until the end of the chapter.
It says in verse 18, "For through him," that's through Christ, "we both have access by one Spirit," that's the Spirit of Christ,
right,
"to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fit together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit."
So that's how our bodies are built into a holy sanctuary for the dwelling place of God through the Spirit.
Our bodies are considered the temple of God.
And that's when we have this interaction with Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit of Christ in us that this occurs. You know, we were talking just before we started, and I mentioned John 15. You know, Jesus says, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me," right?
Yes, he does.
And so he mentions that in John 14. If we go to John 15,
okay.
Can you read verses at least 1 through 7?
Sure. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Jesus speaking, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you."
Okay, Jesus says this twice in verse 4 and verse 5. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you."
Yeah.
He says in verse 5, "He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." This is the same language he used when he's talking about the relationship he has with his Father.
Yes, it is.
That I am in the Father, and the Father is me. That doesn't make him his Father. Just as if we abide in Christ, then Christ in us doesn't make us Jesus Christ.
That's correct. It doesn't.
It's just talking about that relationship.
Yes.
Christ received the Spirit of his Father at his baptism. John the Baptist in John chapter 3 says he received it without limitation or without measure. Mm. And so we have the same opportunity to receive Christ in us. It's Galatians 4:6. Let me read verses 4 through 7 of Galatians chapter 4.
Okay.
Again, this is the modern King James Version. It says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son." Doesn't say God sent himself,
right,
as a lot of churches are now preaching.
Right.
It says God sent forth his Son, coming into being out of a woman having come under the law, so that he might redeem those under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. Mm-hmm. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Wait a minute, the Spirit of who?
Yes.
The Spirit of his son,
which is Jesus Christ.
Right.
So that you are no longer a slave, but a son, no longer a slave to sin, but a son, and if a son, also an heir of God through Christ. Mm. So again, this constant message in the Bible about receiving the Spirit of Christ into our hearts and minds to give us victory over sin in our lives.
Amen.
Romans 5.
Yeah.
You know, why is this the way it is? Romans 5. Let's, in verse 6, it says, for we yet being without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Being without strength to be obedient to God. Being without strength to overcome sin. That's when Christ died for the ungodly, for me.
Right.
Verse 7, for one will with difficulty die for a righteous one, someone who is living righteously according to God's law. Yet perhaps one would even dare to die for a good one. But God commends his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, talking about when we were disobedient to God, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So here, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through death of his son, mm-hmm. because sin separates us from God. So we receive forgiveness of sin through the death of the Son of God on the cross. His blood covers our sins.
Yes.
So now we're in a right standing with God once we accept that gift. We're reconciled to God.
Amen.
But now what? I still have life to live. The devil's still going around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. Mm-hmm. Still temptations every day. So it goes on to say, how much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Mm. The life that he wants to live within you and within me to give us victory over sin in our lives, become obedient to God. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. No one talks about the second part of the gospel,
right.
Of Christ in you, the hope of glory.
They just talk about forgiveness.
Yeah.
In other words, for many Christians, it ends at the cross,
yeah.
Right? Well, Jesus died for me. He didn't die so that you could continue to sin.
Right.
He died and he lives again. He died to cover your transgressions,
right.
But he lives again to help you overcome those transgressions.
Yes.
And you said something very important, Ed. You said that sin separates us from God.
Right.
We see that from the very beginning of the Bible.
Right.
Sin separated Adam and Eve from God. He could no longer interact with them. So now he has to provide a mediation,
right.
For us. He has to provide someone who will pay the penalty and buy back what was lost. And he demonstrates that in the garden when there was a sacrifice made.
Yeah, you're talking about 1 Timothy chapter 2.
Yes.
Verse 5. Again, this is the modern King James. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. It says, for God is one, and there is one mediator of God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't understand this is as much of the reason why Christ came to this earth, his death on the cross, but this idea of mediation is just as important as his death.
Amen.
To help us overcome sin in our life so we can receive the Spirit of God in us through his Son, Jesus Christ.
This is
to help us overcome sin.
Yes, and this is what Jesus was praying about in John 17.
Yes.
And this is why, you know, we started off in Matthew 7, ask, seek, knock, right? So what are we asking for? You took us to Luke and you showed us.
Yeah.
That
if you ask for the Holy Spirit from God, he's good. He'll give it to you.
Amen. And there was one other thing that you read, and I wanted to go back to it. And this was in John 15.
All right.
And I found this so interesting because Jesus is so persistent and he's so consistent in what
yes.
he teaches. So we had read 15, 1 through 6, and then you read verse 7. Notice what it says. It says, if If you abide in me, Jesus speaking, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you.
Yeah.
Tying it right back to what he was saying in Matthew chapter 7.
Well, you know, if you look at John 14.
Okay.
He says, let me... I don't even know where to start, Mark. I want to go to verse 13.
Okay.
But
yeah, just take your time.
Let's start in verse 10.
Sure.
Of John 14. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? We just have talked about this. You know, Jesus wants to be in us and he wants us to be in him. That
right.
same type of relationship. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of myself. We talked about this too. But the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. Not only does Jesus not speak of himself, but speaks the words that his Father does,
mm-hmm.
but it's through the power of the Spirit of God, his Father, that the works are done. His miracles were performed. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes on me, the works that I do, he shall also do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father.
Hmm.
And whatever you may ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Hmm.
If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, so that he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, mm-hmm. whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I'm going to switch to the King James, verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless.
Mm-hmm.
I will come to you. Jesus Christ is the Spirit of truth. He's the Comforter. He's the one that the disciples knew. He was the one that dwelled with the disciples. He's the one that would be in his disciples after received the gift of the Spirit from his
yes.
Father.
And the reason for this is because Jesus does this because he loves you so much.
Yes.
He laid his life down so that he could accomplish this very thing and help us to overcome. Because really, without the Spirit of Christ dwelling in me, I want to continue to sin. And a sinner cannot be in God's kingdom.
Right.
It's very clear. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. We've read that many times in 1
Corinthians.
Well, even
this gift, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another Comforter.
Right.
Talking about sending the Spirit of his Son into our
yes.
hearts. What you read in John 15 was dependent about obeying Christ's words.
Sure.
There's some requirements, there's some qualifications to receive these things.
Amen. So I want to qualify what I said, because I said a sinner cannot receive God's kingdom. We're all sinners.
Right.
But through this process, through what we're reading here, we can overcome those things.
We're a new creation.
Yes. Yet we're born again,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And that's how we become a new creation. And the beauty of it is, this is for right now, for today, right here, right now. But there's going to come a time when Christ comes back that we will all be translated to the glorified bodies
yes.
like his,
right?
The glorified bodies that Adam and Eve were created to live forever.
Yeah. They were perfect.
Yeah. There was no sin in them
right.
until they made a choice.
Right.
And friends, that choice that they had to go and sin, you have the choice to not sin.
Yes.
And the only way that we can do that is by choosing Christ.
Right.
There's no other way.
You know, Satan has so many people convinced they cannot live without whatever sin that they're addicted to.
Yeah.
I just cannot be happy. I cannot live life without this. You know, he's convinced the world of this. And Jesus has come to give you a better way of life.
Amen. Life more abundantly.
Yes.
You know, we think we're happy sometimes when we're, and, you know, on the surface, I guess, when we're living in sin, we feel like we are happy.
Yeah.
But we're only living for that moment.
It doesn't turn out good.
It's temporary.
Yes.
And it's going to end. It's going to come to end. But if we are in Christ Jesus, it's eternal. It will never end. and you can live a much fuller, richer, healthier, happier life
yes.
living in Christ Jesus than you will ever live in this temporary world.
Not the happiness of the world.
Right.
Not the glitz and glamour that the world's trying to convince you that sin is okay and sin is desirable.
Yeah.
It's a peace that comes from knowing the Son of God.
The world has an agenda, and that agenda is to push you away from God and
yes.
His Son. And it's hard to turn the television on, even in the commercials, that you don't see these things.
It's everywhere. It's promoting this.
Everywhere. Billboards, commercials, on the radio,
songs.
In music.
Yeah.
It's even in Christian music, a lot of times, we get false doctrines.
Right. You know what's interesting? All the violence that is in rap, and
yeah.
some of these same people that are promoting these records and these songs that are singing these songs, when they come to court because they are involved in the very activities that they sing about.
That's true.
They don't want that music to be used against them.
Yeah. So they put little disclaimers on the discs, from what I understand.
Yeah.
They'll have things and disclaimers on the labels. I don't know if they have, do they have CDs anymore?
I don't know. You know, it's so ironic. They're promoting these things in their music, and they're doing these things with their lives, yet they don't want to have this evidence against them.
Right.
They
don't
want to
be held accountable.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? The day is coming when we're all going to be held accountable for the choices that we've
right.
made.
And really, all these things influence the people that listen to them, whether you think so or not.
Yeah, it's so true.
It has an influence on you.
It does.
And what you take into your body through your eyes, through your ears, through what you taste, through what you smell, has an influence on you spiritually.
Everything. Even the things that we eat affect our minds.
Yes.
And affect the choices that we make.
Things we drink.
Yeah, things we drink.
Things right. we put in our body.
Certain things that I eat, they're addictive. I love sweets.
Mm-hmm.
And chocolate can be a vice for me. So understanding these things, if knowing, being educated about these things, whether it's diet, whether it's what we watch, whether it's just reading the Word of God, this is what prepares you with that suit of armor that's talked
right.
about in Ephesians. We can be equipped with that if we're reading and studying God's Word.
So when we go back to Matthew 7, this promise, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. This is a promise you can receive from God through His Son, Jesus Christ, for His Spirit, the Spirit of God.
And, you know, a lot of times, it's good just to turn off the noise. This is what I love about the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
The things that you're just bombarded with throughout the week, whether it's, you know, driving to the market or doing things that we would normally do, work. On the Sabbath day, I'm able to seek God and His Son,
right.
not just in worship, but I can go out into the wilderness. We have beautiful parks here.
Yeah.
We can go up in the mountains. Ed, you go up to this beautiful parkway.
All yeah. the time, yeah.
And those are ways you can seek God in creation itself.
Right. If you just think about the Sabbath in terms of a time of turning the world off, turn
yes.
off the radio, turn off the TV, turn off your computer.
Yeah.
You know, and spend time with God, spend time in His words, spend time fellowshipping with other believers,
Amen.
Spend time worshiping God in a formal church service, spend time in nature, seeing the beauty of God and just experiencing these great gifts that He's given us.
Yeah.
Whether it's on a beach, in the woods, even in the desert, you know, whatever is you see beauty in, you see the work of God in, you know, it can just shut off the world, shut off the evil, shut off the temptations of Satan.
The rest isn't just physical rest.
No.
It's rest from the bombarding that we get
right.
from the world. And, you know, sometimes, I don't get to do this often, but if it's a rainy Sabbath in particular, sometimes a Sabbath nap is
yeah.
nice.
Yeah. So, you know, our bodies need rest. That's
yeah.
one of the things in terms of our health, which you're going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Rest is a very important component of health.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. And so, well, you being a physical therapist, you know that muscles need rest.
Yes.
Right? And so all of these things, when we're talking about asking, seeking, knocking, all of these aspects of life, everything that God asks us to do is for our benefit.
Right.
Everything. There is nothing, there is no commandment that is to our detriment.
It's actually a hedge of protection.
Amen. It truly is.
Our lives will be so much better if we don't steal, if we don't commit adultery, if we honor our mother and father, if we worship the one true God.
As we were talking about here.
Right. If we keep the Sabbath day holy, if we don't bear false witness, lie.
Right.
If we don't covet things from our neighbor, you know, just be happy with God has given you.
Right.
Life is so much better.
And you know, sometimes we make the things of the world our idol.
Yeah.
And that's how we
end up. It's easy to do.
It is. It is. I mean, even some, there was a program, I don't even know if it's still on, it used to be called American Idol.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow, you know, idolatry right there, and millions of people will turn this on and watch it.
They don't get it.
They don't see.
Make an idol out of a movie star or a singer or a sports figure or whatever.
Whatever it is. Yeah. So, you know, I want to worship God and his son, Jesus Christ.
You know, when you make an idol out of a person in this world, people tend to imitate them, to dress like they do, use the same phrases, you know. They can influence you to listen to the music they like, whatever, read the books that they like to read.
Yes. And that's why I just want to say this, because when Jesus was talking to his disciples, they were with this Son of God for about 3.5 years. Yeah. And here they don't want to believe that he's going to be going.
Yeah.
Right? And he's helping them. He's saying, look, I'm going to go, but it's going to be better for you. It's going to, you've got to trust me.
Yeah.
They really didn't, they trusted him, but they didn't trust him.
But they didn't understand either.
They didn't get it. Oh. Yeah. And so I wonder, you know, can we really have to learn to put our trust in the Word of God. If God says it, we need to believe it.
How are you going to trust God if you don't know him, if you don't have a relationship with him, if you don't have a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ, if you don't read the Bible to find out who he is versus what someone else tells you he is.
Right. We saw ample evidence here, Ed, that there are two divine beings, not three. You know, Jesus had plenty of time to talk about a third person, if in fact there was one.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, it's a relationship with the Father and the Son. And they want a relationship with us.
Yeah. Right? You know, I heard a sermon last night. It was the title of it was, what does Jesus say about the Trinity? The very last slide was, nothing.
He doesn't say a word about
There's nothing in the Bible about the Trinity.
Yeah.
That promotes three gods. There's only one God. That's the Father and God of Jesus Christ.
He's the God and Father of Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus made that clear, didn't he? So these are the finer points of some things that are really controversial. We were talking about ask, seek, knock. You know, if we're going to ask God for something, it's good to know who he is.
Yes.
It's good to know his identity. If we're going to come to him through Christ Jesus, we need to know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount how to pray.
Right.
He said, our Father in heaven. That's how he said to pray, our Father in heaven. And we're supposed to ask in the name of Jesus.
Right.
But unfortunately, many times, Ed, and I know you've experienced this, you might go to visit a church and you hear confusion.
Yes.
Even in the prayer.
You know, it's not confusion because of lack of knowledge of God's Word. It's a purposeful choice to change God's Word, to change the identity of God and his Son.
Yes, and this has been done over a period of many, many years through an erosion process, right? The beach doesn't just wash away overnight.
You know, Christianity has had an invasion of paganism, and it's because Christians want to appeal to pagan believers, so they incorporate their beliefs and their services that they're used to try to convince them to come into Christianity. It's diluted the Word of God. It's diluted the plan of salvation has diluted the gospel of Jesus Christ.
It has. It truly has. Yeah. And what it does is it skews many other doctrines when that happens. So this is why at the beginning of the, before we actually started our study, we encourage you to open God's Word and read it for yourself.
Yes.
See what it says. Don't believe it just because you think the pastor knows what he's talking about. Don't believe us because you think, well, they sound like they know what they're talking about. Because we can be misled.
Right.
So we need to get in the Bible and look at it for ourselves.
Stay in the Word of God. Study it just to find out what it says.
Amen.
You don't have to study it to prove someone wrong or prove someone right, or just find out what it says.
Yeah, it's not a contest.
Be honest about what it says, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Be honest about what it says, even though it says something you didn't believe.
Right. You said something right before we started about when you read the Bible, do you read it? How did you put that? I forget what you said. We were talking about just believing what it says. Sometimes we're afraid of what it might say.
We're afraid to take the responsibility of our own salvation for ourselves by studying the Word of God for ourselves. Hmm. There's promises in God's Word that God will give you wisdom and knowledge to understand what it says.
Yes.
But look at the alternative. You're trusting another sinful human being for your salvation. Hmm. By believing what they say, by putting your faith in their faith, whether it's right or wrong.
It's so
Don't
true.
You want to know for yourself what the Bible actually says? Don't you want to know for yourself, have a personal relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ?
Mm. I know I do, and I hope the listener does.
Yeah.
We're out of time today, so let's have a closing word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we're just so glad to be here today, and we're just grateful for this platform that you've given us to be able to open your word and just share with others. Father, we ask that people will consider these words of Jesus, that we will know that He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to you but by Him. Father, please instill these words in our minds and hearts. Give us wisdom and understanding, and please be with us until we come together again. We thank you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Ed, thanks for this study. It was great. And, friends, we'll hope to be back on the air next Sunday, 7 p.m., right here on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.